Good morning. Our opening hymn this morning will be hymn number one. Hymn number one. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn, number one. Let us sing.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the lightning that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
For opening prayer this morning, we will be reading hymn number 318. 318. Say first and last verse. 318.
I love the Lord, for he died my soul to save. From
Let us pray. Kind Father in heaven, we indeed thankful unto you for the opportunity that we have to come together upon this first day of the week, to be able to assemble ourselves, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we also thankful to be able to come back and rededicate ourselves to your service here at this place after being absent for several weeks. Just thankful to be able to look out and see all the people that are attending the service. And as the days go by, maybe all those that are unable to be here, they would also be able to come in and participate with us. May you continue to look down upon the situation that we have with this virus. May some way it can be contained and come up with our people in the medical field can come up with a vaccine that will put this in remission, that we can get back to the normal state that we once had. It's a wonderful thing to be able to assemble, and whenever we are unable to do so, we know that things are not the same, but we just thankful that you have spared our lives, and we are still here. Many people, because of this virus, have lost their lives, and some that are still passing on. May your blessing be with the ones that still are, that have missed them and are still alive. We know they're going through some trying time, and pray that you know how the situation is, and may everything continue to be able to be under control. And as may your blessing continue to be with the leadership here as they make decisions to be able for the congregation to be able to operate, which is be effectively and then according to your will. And Father, may we continue to be able to participate and make things work out. As Brother Skip is standing before us this morning and deliver the message, may we listen attentively to it, and that we apply the things that he present to us to our lives. Continue to bless him and his family members that are not here in other places of the country. Bless all of them. And Father, continue to bless members of the church everywhere that are having to deal with this, and may they also be able to conduct the service that will be according to your will. And as we come together, may we always do things that will be in accordance to your will. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Prepare our minds for taking the Lord's Supper this morning. If you would, please turn your hymn book to hymn number 339. 339. We'll sing the first and last verse. We will sing the chorus after the last verse. First and last verse, 339. We'll sing the chorus after the last verse.
Lord, in the grave.
He arose, he arose, hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 27 through 32. It speaks of what we are about to do, Lord's Supper. It speaks of taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, to not be guilty of taking it in an unworthily manner, which is to rush into the Lord's Supper without first thinking of its significance, of taking the time to clear your minds and to reflect on the sacrifice our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on our behalf. And that is why that on every first day of the week, that's why we take a few moments to remind ourselves of what we are about to do as we partake of these Lord's Supper. We have before us the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body. We have the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, be thankful unto you for your love, Heavenly Father, for your guidance, for all the blessings you have provided for us. We are especially thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for you sending into this world your only begotten Son, Heavenly Father, and putting into place that wonderful, powerful plan of salvation, giving each and every one of us the chance of eternal life. We're so thankful to this love that your Son Jesus showed by giving his life on that cruel cross and becoming that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this bread, we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time, if you will take your bread from your baggies.
Let's continue in our thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we come before you at this time, Father, ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, at this time, we ask you to bless this cup, this fruit of the vine, Lord, which represents to us the blood shed of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, upon that cross, Father, the blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And Father, as we partake of this cup, Lord, may we do so in a way and in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father, and in accordance with thy will and word. And we ask this, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Mark the supplemental hymn book to hymn number 10. Hymn number 10 will be the song of invitation this morning. Hymn number 10. Mark that hymn, would please, in your regular song books. Hymn number 285. 285. Sing the first and last verse of this hymn. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases, no, not one, no, not one. And you know that Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark that his love can't cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. And you know that Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day.
Scripture reading this morning is going to come from Psalms chapter 112, verses 1 and 2. That's Psalms chapter 112, verses 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the King James Version. The title of this morning's sermon is, Are You God's Point Man? Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now, our brother Skippy Norman.
Say good morning. Truly, God has once again blessed us to be able to come together on this morning. You know, it's getting some used to wearing these masks all the time, but God sometimes has to take us out of our comfort zone for us to appreciate what life is all about and not to take life for granted, not to take things for granted. And so we're just appreciative that God has given us this opportunity to assemble ourselves this morning. I just want to just remind you of just continue to be patient as we're trying to continue to look at things and also for the safety of the congregation. And as Ben made mention, when you exit, make sure that you follow the instructions from the ushers. They'll be back in the back. They'll be making sure that we are keeping things flowing, that we're not congregating in a group, that everything is flowing. So we just ask you to cooperate with that. If you notice, we enter on one side of the foyer, but then we exit on the other side of the foyer. So just cooperate with the ushers and those. If they tell you to move on, just move on, because we don't want to congregate together. We just want to make sure that we are looking out for the safety of the congregation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this day, for your blessings. And Lord, now as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, Heavenly Father, that we pray that the things that we say, that we can apply these things to our lives, to help us to be the Christians that you would have us to be. Watch over us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we say happy Father's Day to all of the good, loving, and faithful fathers. If you're a dad, or if you're a dad that has been separated from your children, your stepdad, and to all men who have stepped in, to be dads for those who did not have one. We just want to welcome you and just say happy Father's Day. And we know that Father's Day can be a joyous day, but it also can be a sad day. While not everybody looks forward to Father's Day, maybe you recently lost your father or a child and you are experiencing the pain, and you're experiencing the loss. Maybe you are having difficulties with your father, and your father wasn't the ideal father we like to preach about. Maybe you never had a real father. Maybe you are single father this morning. You're struggling with being a good father to your child, to your children. But today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, it's never too late to be that father that, God would have you to be. God has given his word to encourage you, help you, bless you, comfort you, and to give you directions. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the subject this morning, are you God's point man? What I want you to do is, men here, I want you to just go back and just in your mind, I want you to imagine that you are at in Vietnam. You're selected as the point man, the leader for a team of seven men to go out on patrol. Your mission is to identify a safe passage for your outfit to the next destination. Your enemy is an unseen vet com waiting to ambush you, your men, and your entire outfit. Your resources is the seven men on your team and the equipment that you are carrying, and they are counting on you to get them to their destination safely. So my question to you this morning is, can you be counted on? We are in enemy territory. God has commissioned the father to act as the point man to lead his family to safety. The danger is far more significant. It's less obvious than safely navigating the jungles in a distant country. For you face an enemy that is far deadlier, and your success and your failure has eternal implications. Satan's strategy has always been to divide and conquer. Divide you and your wife or the other team members spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The father is God's point man and will come under the greatest enemy fire. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. This morning, I just want to look at the right stuff we need to learn as God's point man. Because, Dad, you are an integral part of the family, and it's hard to survive without you. That's how important that you are. Dad, you are the glue that God says holds the family together. Dads, we must constantly make the decision to follow God's instructions when it comes to our families. Because, Dad, your children watch how you treat their mother. They learn how to love by watching how you love. If they see you show disrespect for your wife or for your mother, your son will carry that into his marriage and into his relationship. If you verbally, mentally, physically abuse your wife, your mother, your daughter would expect that in her marriage and relationship. If you treat their mother like she isn't worth very much, you are degrading the home, you are degrading the family and the marriage, which they will carry into their future homes and families and marriages. But if you visibly see you show love and respect to their mother, your son will learn how to be a good husband and a father himself. If you honor your wife, your daughter will never be satisfied with a man that dishonors her. If you cherish their mother as a valuable part of not only your life,
but their life. They will carry that model with them for the rest of their lives. So I want to suggest to you this morning that if you're going to be God's point man, I suggest to you, number one, you man up. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says, a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? In Psalms 112 and verse 1, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commandments. Today, men are not fearing God. Today, children are out of control and they need role models. Today, God is looking for men. Men to step up to the plate and be who God intended for them to be. This challenge comes with a wake-up call to God's men. Your wives need you to be godly. Your children need you to be godly. This congregation needs you to be godly. And if you're visiting from another congregation, they need you to be godly. Every avenue of your life cry for you to be godly. Even if you are not married, we still need you to take control and be godly, because families are falling apart. Society is suffering, and even our congregations are suffering because men are failing in their God-given role as spiritual leaders. When I talk about man up means, number one, take back the power that God has gave you. You are to lead your family, number one, by example. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That's first. Matthew 26, Matthew 22 and verse 37. And then, husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. That's second. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. And then you ought to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he gets old, he will not depart from it. That's third. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. The Christian father, the husband, is a tool in the hand of God. Take back the authority that God gave you as the leader in your family. And do it that they see Jesus in you. Blessed be the man who fears God and finds delight in his commandments. Psalms 1 and verse number 1 through 3. If you acknowledge where your power is coming from, they'll see Jesus in your life. You will influence, you'll win over your wife, and you'll have a chance to impact. Don't rely on your wife to spiritually train the children. Don't send them to church. You go back, and I know you know a lot of fathers, you tell them, don't send them to church. You bring them to church. They need to see some role models. Take back your manhood. That's the second thing. Take back your manhood. Manhood is being the father and the husband God intended you to be. Manhood is being a mentor to someone God has brought into your life. I suggest to you, start wearing the pants. Start wearing the pants, because once upon a time, men wore the pants. They wore them well. What do you mean? Women rarely had to open up the door for themselves. Put gas in the car. Men took charge because that's what they did. They took charge. They were taking back their manhood. But somewhere along the way, the world decided that it no longer needed men. We need men to put down the remote control. We need men to put down those spoons and those forks and step away from the table and quit being lazy. It's time to get your hands dirty. It's time to answer the call of manhood. And then thirdly, take back the right priority in your life. God is first. God is first. Family is second. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. God is looking. He's looking for men to step up and make him a priority. He's looking for men to lead their families and make an impact in the kingdom of God. And my question again to you, can he count on you? Can he count on you to be that point man, to be what God intended you to be? If you be that point man, I tell you, you can watch God do some amazing things in your life, in your family, in your church, and in your workplace. Are you God's point man? If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe you haven't been that father, maybe you haven't been that man that God wants you to be. It's not too late to start out being what God would have you to be. If you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus died so that we might live. God gave his only begotten Son because he loved us. If you here need to respond to the invitation, you've heard the word, believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, then be baptized. Then you go down in that watery grave of baptism, Romans 6:3-4. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian. You've not been living as a Christian should. Maybe you haven't been all that God wants you to be this morning. Now is the time to make it right. Now is the time to serve him until he calls you from labor to reward. If you're subject to the invitation, come right now that we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Would you bow with me? Dear Father, we thank you for this glorious day and for this day that we can celebrate the addition of Brother Philip to our number. Pray that you'll guide him in his walk as you guide all of us, dear Father. We thank you for the word that is a lamp unto our path so that we may stay on the straight and narrow. Dear Father, as we're about to leave, we want to thank you, dear Father, for one another, for the love that we show for one another. Help us always to be sincere, dear Father, and help us to show that love to the community as well. Pray, dear Father, for our nation that we may put our hate behind us, our partisan bickering, and that we'll work together, dear Father, to make this a better place. That'll be safe for all of us, not only physically, but that we'll seek thee spiritually, dear Father, that we may have peace within. Guide our leaders, dear Father, that they may be just in their dealings with one another so that truly, dear Father, the leaders of the land can be a force for good. Be with us as we depart, dear Father, that we'll not forget the sick among our number, the sick around the world. Help us as we fight the virus that we not forget one another. We ask this all, dear Father, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.